As we are moving through the Bible, we are currently in the book of Numbers. We encourage you to read the Bible through with us. This morning, let's take a look at Numbers chapter 6, beginning with verse 23. Numbers 6, beginning with verse 23. The Lord said unto Moses that he was to speak unto Aaron and unto his sons, saying, On this wise ye shall bless the children of Israel, saying unto them, Jehovah bless thee and keep thee. Jehovah make his face to shine upon thee and be gracious unto thee. Jehovah lift up his countenance upon thee and give thee peace. And they shall put my name upon the children of Israel, and I will bless them. These are the instructions to the priest. Now, we must remember that the function of a priest was always twofold. First of all, the priest would go in before God to represent the people. He was God's representative. He was the people's representative coming to God. Because one thing that the Old Testament does teach is how completely unapproachable the holy, righteous God is by sinful man. All the way through, we see how God cannot be approached by just anybody. And thus, God established the tabernacle, the whole system within the tabernacle. And all of it bespoke the fact that God could not be approached by sinful man in a direct way. The only way a man could approach God in the old economy was to bring a sacrificial offering to the priest. And the priest would take his sacrificial offering and would offer it before God and then go in before God to represent that person. But there was always the need of that one standing between you and God. It was not possible for you to make a direct approach to God under the covenant of the Old Testament. But when the priest had gone before God to represent you, that was only a part of his function. The remaining function of the priest was, once he had represented you before God, was to come out and now represent God to you. He was to be God's representative as he spoke to you God's word. And thus God said, when the priests come out to represent me before the people, this is what I want them to say to the people. In other words, this is how God wanted to be represented. The priest was to raise his hands over the people and say, The Lord bless thee and keep thee. The Lord cause his face to shine upon thee and be gracious unto thee. The Lord lift up his countenance upon thee and give thee peace. And God said, And thus shall you put my name upon the people. Now, God's name has been placed upon people many times, but not always in a blessing. Many times when God's name is placed upon people, you would think that God wants to damn everything and everybody because of the way his name is being put upon people. And thus, God has been highly misrepresented. Not always did the priest properly represent God. And as time went on, People had wrong concepts of God. Now, what the priest was to the Jew in the Old Testament, Jesus Christ has become to the Christian in the New Testament. He is my representative before God. In Romans 8, we read, Hebrews 7, 25, seeing that he ever liveth to make intercession for us. In Romans 8, it said, it is Christ who has died, yea, rather is risen again, and is even at the right hand of the Father making intercession for us. He's there representing me. My representative before God. He's gone to represent me before the Father. But then he represents God to me. Jesus said to Philip, hey, if you've seen me, you've seen the Father. He was a perfect representative of God. Man is not always properly represented God, and thus people have wrong ideas and concepts of God because of the way man has misrepresented him. If you really want to know what God is like, look at Jesus Christ. For though the law came by Moses, God's grace and God's truth has come to us through Jesus Christ. Now, how did God want to be represented? Not as a vengeful, angry God ready to destroy man, but when they came out, they were to say to the people, the Lord bless thee and keep thee. The Lord wants you to know that it is his desire to bless your life. And one of the greatest blessings of God is his keeping power. In Jude, another benediction, we read, now unto him who is able to keep you from falling and to present you faultless, but that keeping power of God, he's able to keep you from stumbling. He's able to keep you from falling. Peter said, oh, thank God for the living hope that we have by the resurrection of Jesus Christ from the dead, of this inheritance that is incorruptible and undefiled, that fades not away, that is reserved in heaven for you who are kept by the power of God through faith. That keeping power of God. God is able to keep you safe. God is able to keep you in his love. David said, unless the Lord keep the city, the watchman wakes in vain. He realized how futile it was for us to try to keep ourselves. We don't have that ability or capacity. We need the keeping power of God. And thus, one of the first things that God wanted the people to realize is that it was his desire to keep them. Jehovah bless thee and keep thee. Now, the second blessing, Jehovah cause his face to shine upon thee and be gracious unto thee. What does it mean for God to shine his face upon you? Well, if I were to paint a picture, and I would paint a picture of dark, ominous clouds, what do you think of? Well, it's sort of depressing. It's anticipation of a storm, of violence. The dark clouds bespeak of sort of a somber, kind of an ominous thing. But the sunshine, good day, it's going to be a beautiful day. We're going to be able to enter into full activities. For children, it means a day of playing. and thus the Lord cause his face to shine upon thee. It means that God wants you to have a good day, an enjoyable day, a day of blessing, a day of hope, a day of anticipation. Now, this second blessing is really fulfilled in Jesus Christ. In fact, you remember in Revelation chapter 1, when we get the description of Jesus Christ by John, he sees his face and it's shining like the sun. The Lord caused his face to shine upon thee. And thus we see in Christ the shining face of God. For in Christ do we experience the grace of God. For though the law came by Moses, grace and truth came to us through Jesus Christ. And so the shining face of God really has come to us through the face of his glorious Son, Jesus Christ. And it is in him that we experience the grace of God. And Paul said, grace be unto you according to the measure of the gift of Christ. Oh, the glorious grace of God that is ours in Christ Jesus. Now, it's important that we always distinguish in our mind between justice, mercy, and grace. Justice is getting exactly what you deserve. Mercy is not getting what you deserve. And grace is getting what you don't deserve at all. The blessing, the goodness, the fullness, God's grace. Now, whenever I come to God, I never come saying, God, I demand justice. I want justice, Lord. Because I don't want what I deserve. When I come to God, it's always with, Lord, mercy. Please, Lord, mercy or grace. But God is merciful and God is gracious. And he wants you to know that he is gracious. And he wants you to know that you can receive his love and his benefits and his blessings even though you don't deserve them. When I come to the end of the week and I look over the week's activities and I go down my little checklist, I don't say, well, now look, Lord, I've been a pretty good guy this week. Didn't lose my temper once. I, you know, was so kind and so sweet, helped the little lady across the street, and I didn't blow my horn when they didn't get out of my way. And Lord, you know, I really had a pretty good week. Now, you know, why don't you just shower me with a few goodies, Lord, because I've been so good. No way. Because it might work for me one week, if it were an especially good week. I can't remember one, but that's the problem, you see. Most of the time, I would be ruled out. Well, Lord, you can just pass over me this week. Just, you know, forget about it. That's all right. I can understand. You don't want to lay anything on me, Lord. Believe me, I understand. Because I've been such a failure this week. I've been so miserable and all this kind of stuff, you know. And thus, I would be held back from the thing that God wants to do for my life. So often, if I were coming on the basis of my goodness. But that isn't the basis of the blessings of God upon me. God doesn't reward me because I have been good. God blesses me because of his grace. The Lord cause his face to shine upon thee and be gracious unto thee. May you experience the blessings of the grace of God upon your life. And then, the Lord lift up his countenance upon thee and give thee peace. Now again, what does it mean to lift up your countenance? upon a person. Well, we understand what it means to have a fallen countenance. Now, you've seen the happy faces. A happy face is a face with the countenance that is lifted up. The facial features are up. A fallen countenance is when the facial features are down. May the Lord lift up His countenance upon you. Or actually, may God smile at you. May you realize that God is smiling at you. Now, God is saying, this is the way I want you to represent me. I'm afraid that many times when we represent God, we represent Him with a scowl, with a fallen countenance. In fact, it's tragic that there was one period in the church when the more sober and mean you looked, the more spiritual you were supposed to be. So the ministers went around always with a scowl and very sober and very somber in order that they might have the appearance of being very spiritual to the people. As though I'm really representing God when I'm extremely somber and have a scowl upon my face. Hey, God said, that isn't the way I want me represented to the people. The Lord lift up His countenance. You know, when I was a kid growing up, oftentimes when I was doing something, suddenly I think, oh, I wonder what my dad's thinking. And I'd turn around to look at my dad. Because if he had a scowl, I knew I was in trouble. But if he was smiling, then I had peace. Hey, it's all right, Dad's smiling, you know. He's not upset. And so I was reading body language as a kid, watching my dad, seeing how he was reacting to what I was doing. Was he scowling at what I was doing? I knew I was in trouble. I didn't have peace. Was he smiling at what I was doing? All right, there's peace because it's all right. He approves. The smile is sort of an approval kind of a thing. May the Lord smile upon you in order that you might have that peace, knowing that He loves you and knowing that He approves, knowing that He is ready to forgive if it's wrong, ready to restore and bring you unto Himself. The Lord lift up His countenance upon thee and give thee peace. And so these are the three characteristics that God wanted emphasized. Number one, His desire to keep them. Number two, His desire to bestow upon them His grace, His goodness, though they didn't deserve it. And number three, that they might experience the wonderful peace of God within their lives. And thus the priest was to represent God to the people. Now, the priest often misrepresented God. And thus people got the wrong concepts of God. And so God, in order that He might be properly represented, sent His only begotten Son, who became a faithful, true witness of what God is. And so Christ has become our high priest. I come to Him, and He in turn mediates between the Father and myself. There is one God and one mediator between God and man, the man Christ Jesus. And then He represents God to me, but a true representation. Because what do I find in Jesus Christ? I find His keeping strength and power. And what must I say about the keeping power of Christ? Number one, I depend on it. If it weren't for His keeping power, I would surely stumble and fall. If it weren't for His keeping power, I could never make it. I am thankful for it because he keeps me daily by his strength. But Christ also represents to me the glorious grace of God. For if God spared not his own son, but delivered him up for us all, how much more then will God freely give me all things? In God's great manifestation of grace, I see in his son. And then finally, he has brought me peace. For he is our peace, the Bible said, who has broken down that barrier that existed between us. And so through Jesus Christ, I have peace with God. But more than that, through Jesus Christ, I now have the peace of God within my heart. There are many people who have peace with God who have not yet experienced the peace of God within their lives. But it is through Jesus Christ that I have the twofold blessing of peace, not just peace with God, but the glorious peace of God in my heart, so that I am not disturbed or upset by things that transpire, knowing that God has things in control and my life is in his hands. And so, God was truly represented to us by Jesus Christ, who became the mediator of the new covenant. This covenant whereby God declares, in order to experience my grace and my love and my keeping power and my peace, all you must do is believe on the provisions that I have made. Believe on the Lord Jesus Christ, and thou shalt be saved. And so God's name was placed upon the people three times. A threefold placing of God's name. The Lord bless thee. The Lord cause his face to shine upon thee. The Lord lift up his countenance upon thee. Why three times? In order to manifest the threefold nature of God in the Father, the Son, and in the Holy Spirit. In the Lord bless thee and keep thee, we see the marvelous work of the Holy Spirit. In the Lord cause his face to shine upon thee and be gracious unto thee, we see the glorious manifestation of Jesus Christ. In the Lord lift up his countenance upon thee and give thee peace, we see the marvelous work of the Father in bringing peace through his Son. And so Paul the Apostle has a threefold benediction in 2 Corinthians chapter 13, the last verse, as Paul's threefold benediction is similar. And it's interesting to put them side by side, because Paul said, may the grace of our Lord Jesus Christ and the love of God and the communion of the Holy Spirit be with you all. Amen. Now, God said, this is how I want you to put my name on the people. In other words, God wants his name related with his love, with his grace, with his peace, with the benefits that he desires to bestow upon the people. If you are relating God's name to other things, then you are falsely relating God's name. That isn't how God wants his name relayed or conveyed to people. That isn't the concept that God wants people to have of himself when they think of him. Thus are you to put my name upon the people, that glorious name of God, the name that we even today do not know how to properly pronounce, except we know that that name, Jehovah or Yahweh or however it is pronounced, to us is Jesus, Jehovah Shua, the name in which we have discovered the grace in salvation for ourselves. Thus, may the Lord bless you and keep you. May the Lord cause his face to shine upon you and give you and be gracious unto thee. And may the Lord lift up his countenance and give you peace. Shall we pray? Father, we thank you for your grace, for your love, and for your provision through Jesus Christ, in order that we might know your love and grace and be the recipients of its blessing. O Lord, let thy Holy Spirit minister to our hearts today of thy grace and of thy truth. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen. Shall we stand? God said, "And thus shall you put my name upon the children of Israel." But what about those who are not the children of God? I cannot, in all sincerity, say, "The Lord bless you and keep you." This is only the benefit that comes from being a child of God. The blessings, the grace, the peace. But the thing is, God wants you to be his child. God wants to bless you. And only you can withhold those blessings by not coming to him. It is important that we all of us have a relationship with God. Now, the Old Testament shows us graphically the impossibility of having a relationship with God apart from the whole religious system with the priesthood. If you want to come to God apart from Jesus Christ, then you have a tough way to go, because there are no priests anymore, there are no more sacrifices, and so I don't know how you're going to make it. But God has provided a great high priest, even Jesus Christ, who has entered into the heavens for us and is there representing us before the Father and has truly represented the Father to us. And you can come to Jesus Christ today and through him experience the blessings, the grace, and the peace of God. It's yours for the receiving. I would encourage you to go back to the prayer room and receive it. Why not? What have you got to lose? Hey, you've got so much to gain that it would be a whole nother series of sermons just to tell you how much you have to gain in Christ Jesus. And so may the Lord be with you, and may the Lord bless you, and may the Lord keep you. May you experience the joy, the blessing, the fruitfulness as God's face shines upon your life. And as he smiles upon thee, May your heart be filled with that peace of approval. For God has approved you in Christ Jesus.